Welcome to History Speaks, a weekly podcast from the Montour County Historical Society. A big thank you to all who attended our holiday open house at the Montgomery and Boyd House Museums on December the 9th. Holidays are all about family and friends, and you made it special when you stopped by to say hello. And again, why not consider a membership for an individual or entire family in 2019? Lifetime memberships are also available. More details at the end of the podcast. We're continuing to look back on Christmases in Pennsylvania and Montour County. From the book Christmas in Pennsylvania by Alfred Shoemaker, we learned that in the 18th and early 19th centuries, most Pennsylvanians did not celebrate Christmas. Pennsylvania's Puritans, who included the Quakers, Scotch-Irish, Presbyterians, Baptists, and Methodists, as well as the Mennonites and other plain groups who were Puritans in spirit, shared New England's aversion to pay special honor to the 25th of December. According to Shoemaker, if one belonged to the Episcopalians or Lutherans or some of the other Christian denominations, they did celebrate Christmas. Danville and Montour County residents had different ways of celebrating based on their cultural upbringing. Danville had the Germans, the Irish, the Welsh, Lithuanians, and other ethnic groups, many who came to work in the mills of Danville, and they brought along their traditions. In 1837, the editor of the Danville Intelligencer reported, "It snowed all night, and as the residents awoke to a winter wonderland, they mounted up their sleighs, and the sweet sounds of sleigh bells could be heard." He also wrote that the season is for taking the holidays and enjoying the festivities and social interactions. During the next several years, businesses in town closed, except the confectionaries where families purchased their cakes, candies, and confections. In 1853, a group of people dressed in fantastic style roamed the streets, spreading much merriment to all who witnessed their dancing down the streets. Fantastical parades were held sporadically in different areas of Pennsylvania. Again, citing the book Christmas in Pennsylvania, we learn that a popular institution in Pennsylvania cities from about 1830 to the time of the Civil War was the Christmas Fair, also called the Ladies' Fair or Fancy Fair. Christmas fairs were sponsored by women's groups to raise funds for charitable causes, churches, orphanages, and other nonprofit organizations. Women solicited donations of goods to sell in the community, and they themselves supplied needlework and food. Over the years, Danville churches took turns having dinners to benefit their building fund, which many times included plays, music, and small gifts for the children. Parades marched down Mill Street, which featured bands and marchers. Many families purchased their holiday candies and gifts at Jacob's store in Danville. Henry Jacobs came to town in 1860 and opened a bakery and candy store on Mill Street. Specializing in clear toy candy, the business turned out 50 tons of candy in peacetime for the Christmas season. But in December of 1942, the war hit home and forced a halt in production. Over the years, those clear toy candies were sold in Wanamaker's and Gimbel's, among other outlets. But a lack of manpower and the necessary sugar and other items needed for production in 1942 forced a halt. That year, just 3 tons of Jacob's candies were sold. The store remained in the family for 3 generations and finally closed its doors in the 1960s. Talking about Christmas and candy, I found a story in the December 20th, 1900 edition of the Danville Morning News. Officer Lewis Byerly is certain that he'll receive at least 1 Christmas present this year. It will be the same piece of candy that he has received 14 times over the past 30 years, and the donor will be Henry Search of Ash Street. 30 years ago, Byerly and Search were standing in a store on the day before Christmas when Mr. Byerly said, "Henry, give me a Christmas present." Laughingly, Mr. Search broke a stick of striped candy in two and gave half of it to his friend. Next year, Byerly gave back the same piece of candy, and the next year it came back to him. So for 30 years, the candy has spent 1 year in possession of one man, and the next year the other has it. There is now less than an inch of the candy stick left. For years, it has been carefully tied and preserved in a small box, ready for its annual exchange. Music has always been a Christmas tradition. Welsh hymn writer Joseph Perry worked in the iron mills of Danville when he was a youngster, but left to become a professional musician. He attended the Royal Academy of Music in London to further his studies. In 1871, Perry returned to Danville with a Bachelor of Music degree and a doctorate from Cambridge to work as a professional musician and set up his Danville Musical Institute. In 1874, Professor Perry and several of his students made Christmas Day memorable with their caroling. It was said their superior Welsh voices vibrated on the clear morning air. One of the most delightful European customs initiated by Professor Perry was a performance of musical matins, or morning prayers, on the advent of Christmas. By 1880, ingeniously crafted tin toys were advertised in the newspapers and in the windows of local shops. Instead of clumsy, hand-carved toys, children received steamboats that would run on water, crafted horse and wagons, small petite houses for the girls to play with their dolls, and toys that emitted a shrieking sound as wheels turned. The season of 1881 was one of the most prosperous seasons for area merchants. Danville's iron trade was thriving, and households had means to buy something for all their family members. At the turn of the century, merchants made a special effort to decorate their windows with lights, Santas, and a sampling of their fine gifts for sale, which would include clothing, jewelry, and even eatables. The Opera House and local churches scheduled literary and musical programs. The Danville Intelligencer newspaper of December 16, 1904, noted, "The merchants in this city have never before made as elaborate preparations for the holiday season as they have this year. The stores are literally packed with suitable goods for holiday presents. Whether the trend of the searcher for such wearers is in the direction of utility or ornament. In fact, it may be doubted if any of the stores in much larger cities are more completely equipped for the holiday trade than any one of a dozen in this city. It would be worse than folly for any Danville purchaser to go elsewhere for presents." Of course, celebrating the birth of Christ was the focus for many families in Danville and Montour County. Churches across the years held midnight services on Christmas Eve. Beautiful Christmas hymns and songs could be heard coming from many of the sanctuaries, spreading the message of peace on earth and goodwill to men. We'll continue our reminiscences of Christmas in Montour County in next week's podcast of History Speaks. If you enjoy local history or know someone who does, consider a membership for 2019. Dues are only $20 a year for individuals, $30 for a family living under one roof. There are $300 lifetime memberships as well. Quarterly newsletters are sent out with photos, stories, and tidbits of history. Please send dues with address or an email address if you want to receive your newsletter in email to MCHS, Post Office Box 8, Danville, Pennsylvania, 17821. Until next week, this is your host, Terry Diener, sharing a quote from author Gladys Tabor. "Christmas is a bridge. We need bridges as the river of time flows past. Today's Christmas should mean creating happy hours for tomorrow and reliving those of yesterday."